Journey with Judy. Honest, open, transparent. It's hot.
There's no such thing as perfect people. There's no such thing as a perfect life. So come as you are, broken and scarred. Lift up your heart and be amazed and be changed by a perfect God.
All right, so good morning. Thank you for choosing to be right here on Lake 96.1 and Journey with Judy. We're going to celebrate today a couple things. The fact that there's times where we finish what we started, you know, even though it was hard. There's times where the road seems long, but we just know that it's actually achievable. And there's times where we can find inspiration in just about anything. And that's kind of the week it was at the Hare House. And so there were really high, big highs, big lows, lots of ups and lots of downs. There were times where I literally felt like I was killing it, right? I mean, killing it, and other times where I felt like I was getting killed. As a matter of fact, this just came to mind. I was having a conversation with my daughter, Kennedy, okay? Kennedy is 20 years old. She's home for about 5 weeks from college. And Kennedy and I have always had a very interesting relationship. And so I kind of walk on eggshells around Kennedy. I'm mindful of what I'm saying. I know I can read when I'm, you know, kind of going off the deep end with her. And so I back off. And so I was at the stove cooking and taking advantage of the fact that she was in the same room as me. Now, I had no intention of cooking or baking or doing anything for that matter in the kitchen. But because she was there, I just figured I would plant myself there and see what conversation might arise. So we were doing this little back and forth thing, and I was like feeling just so confident and, you know, courageously entering into some really great questions. I learned now to say, you know, I have 170,000 questions I'd like to ask. How many can I? And anyway, so at one point I said, you know what, Ken, I feel like I'm killing it right now. And she goes, Mom, you are literally like the most annoying person. Like, this is not working for me. So there I was thinking I was killing it. And as usual, once again, I left a mark, right? I mean, I always seem to be leaving a mark. And what kind of mark I'm leaving, I guess, is what matters. Because not only did I completely fail and leave this mark with Kennedy about being the most annoying mother, I forgot the broccoli that I was steaming, and Bob was smelling it and of course saying what the hell smells as he was screaming. So the freezer door, I left it open and thought, can I salvage the salmon? I just kept hoping. The coffee cup I left on top of my car, didn't realize until I had drove too far. I forgot the timer when I was baking, and I got on a call for 30 minutes while dinner I was making. Friends, it was just one epic failure after another in the Hare household, because I don't know if it was because I wasn't paying attention, I wasn't being mindful, I forgot. But the reality is, I am literally trying to accomplish this goal. Like, the success for me in my house is kind of always the same, right? It's to serve and to love, to forgive and to train, to be this person who kind of calls my kids to more, and at the same time kind of models that. And it seems that I got to be practicing a little bit more of what I'm preaching. I got to be actually walking in this talk that, you know, I do so easily on a Sunday and all over the country. Because when it comes to my own family, it's so much easier to talk the talk than it is to walk the walk. Because then another thing I did, not only did I totally let my kids down in the kitchen, but at 11 p.m., I dropped the feta cheese, not only just feta cheese, but like 50 billion trillion crumpled little pieces of feta cheese. We have a little ant problem going right now, so they were happy. So at 11 p.m., I dropped the feta cheese, and I said to my man, will you get the vacuum, please? One day, I cried the whole day. I cried until there were no more tears, and then I realized the struggle increases with the years. So this thing about living in my skin and being a mother, I was just literally not prepared for it. And so I'm decided I'm going to shelf my life today. And instead, we're going to celebrate on today's show. We're going to celebrate and we're going to commemorate some people who have run a race, who have finished what they started, who realized the road was long, but they did achieve it. And of course, those people who are right now an inspiration to us. So we'll be back after the break to celebrate our 2018 graduates. You're Journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. All right, so big or small, we applaud them all. Our 2018 graduates, congratulations. A graduate, by definition, is one who receives a diploma or degree. And I think in the small print, it should say something like, results may vary from person to person, and results may take longer for some, right? Because this whole concept of graduating and, you know, what it means, what it doesn't mean. I mean, there's that consistent thing that these people have. You know, I think I don't care where we're going. If we're going to graduation parties, programs, a graduation celebration, a graduation dinner, we are always in a place where there's this common theme, right? I mean, it's inspirational. We recognize that these are people who finished what they started, even though it was hard, and that the road was maybe longer than they took, but ultimately they have achieved it. And so here's what's kind of cool this year for me is I have zero graduates. Now, just the way my kids were born, I had two graduates at one time last year, one from high school and one from college. And, you know, there's some drama about, you know, a graduation party and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is this year I have zero. And so instead I get to just look at every single thing everywhere I go that commemorates and celebrates graduates. And here's what's kind of cool. You know, I told you that the definition is one who receives a diploma. And I do not remember graduating from 4K and getting a diploma, never mind wearing a cap and a gown. I mean, these kids are literally making the biggest deal of a graduation from 4K. It seems to have the same amount of weight as it does when you're getting a master's program. So, but here's the thing that all those have in common is these are our future leaders. My friends, we cannot minimize the fact that that little 4Ker who's wearing that cap and gown, the same as the person graduating from college or getting a master's degree, they will lead us. They will lead us in our church, in our communities, in our political arenas. They're just the future leaders of this world. And I don't know, it's a little scary to me. It's a little scary to recognize, you know, what they are up against. You know, I always say how hard it is to raise kids now, even worse than raising kids. I would not want to be that kid. So I think what's really cool is that they carve out this period of time, and it's probably been going on for a couple weeks and will continue a little bit longer, where they celebrate, they share memories, they recognize blessings, they look back and kind of recognize the things that they learned right in the classroom, out of the classroom, socially, morally, you know, academically, maybe athletically. But I think what's also consistent amongst them, as well as those of us who have graduates, and the people who are outside of it looking in, is we all got some skewed views. Like, we have these skewed views of this generation or what is actually required of them to do this thing called life, right? I mean, the idea is that the generation after us does it better than us. I mean, I would hope that the generation after us does it better than we did it, rather than kind of repeat those cycles of defeat. Now, I realize that we are creating some entitled, presumptuous kids. I mean, we have pampered and doted on. We have posted about them. We've kissed them. We've fed them. We've coached them. We've counseled them. We've listened to them. We trained them. We taught them. We tutored them. I mean, it's constant encouragement and empowerment. We are consoling. We're cajoling. We're nudging, we're convincing, we're bribing. I mean, we're doing all of these things, and we're just hoping at the end of the day you know, they leave the world better than they found it. And so what kind of mark are they leaving? These people who are called one in a million in a world of like 6.2 billion. So if you're one in a million in a world of 6 billion, what does it really mean? Like, what is your role? Because here's what we know. We know that scripture tells us, when I was a child, I did things like a child. I talked like a child. I acted like a child. But when I became an adult, it was time for me, I'm kind of paraphrasing this, to put away selfish things, kind of put those things behind me. And while now I kind of see dimly as a child what that was supposed to be, as I come into adulthood, it really should become a lot clearer. So it's interesting because my son turned 23. I think I mentioned that last week. And my daughter described him in her birthday message, "Happy birthday to my successful brother." Well, I thought that was kind of interesting because as I travel around the country and do a lot of team building and things like that, I have an opportunity to dissect that word success. And I typically put people in a group, a team of people, and ask them to describe in 12 words what success means to them. I have yet, in many, many years, had any group of people come up with even one exact match of what success actually means. And so I think overall, there's an overarching theme of what success might mean, right? But the true path to get there kind of varies for each of us, because my definition of success for my children is just got to be a little bit different than yours. But here's what scripture tells us. Scripture tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." I mean, let's be honest. This show is about being honest, open, and transparent. We got a lot of young people walking around without a lot of hope for the future. I mean, I think there's probably just as many that have hope, but this generation of millennials, these people who, you know, the older generation would say that they're entitled and they're presumptuous, that they can't communicate outside of a cell phone, that they don't understand what a true connection is, that they're filled with vanity and pride and selfishness. Actually, they're even called in some articles lazy, entitled narcissists. And 80% of them, according to statistics, once they graduate from college, actually migrate back into their parents' home. So what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What does it mean when you actually get this diploma or this degree? What does it mean for all of us who have commemorated and who have celebrated this amazing accomplishment in regards to your future being so much bigger than your past? I'm going to tell you a little bit about that when we get back. You're journeying with Judy right here on Lake 96.1. And again, we celebrate them all, whether big or small. Congratulations to our 2018 graduates.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holy dead.
All right, so one of the things I absolutely love to do when I'm leaving a mark for my kids is when they're home from college. Okay, I started this with my oldest son. Obviously, he's the first one to go away and come home. Well, his window of being home on a break from college was typically, at the most, it was 5 days. It was more like 24 hours or 48 hours. And so I made it a practice to literally wait on them, him in particular initially, like hand and foot. I mean, I just, whether it was filling his water, you know, having three totally solid meals a day, he could request just about anything of me. And I found great pleasure in serving him because he had been away from home. And I enjoyed that. Okay. He didn't have to make his bed. He didn't have to take a plate off the table. Like, it was just a precedent that I literally started. And so when we hear about this generation of entitled people, entitlement meaning a guarantee of access to some benefits, an absolute privilege, a false sense of entitlement, feeling like they have a right and deserve to have something when they want, because they want it, in whatever way they want it. And so in this particular area, I hands down have contributed to that sense of entitlement, actually to a fault, because I never was really clear on, I'm doing this when you come home from college only because you're home for this small amount of time. Because my daughter Kennedy has been home, she's going to be home for 5 weeks total. And the other day I was literally on the phone call with a client, okay, in my office, the door closed, and she was texting me, and I was a little distracted. I thought something might be up that I needed to put the person on hold. Well, she wanted to ask me if I would get her ice for her water. No, like she wasn't injured. She's able to walk and get her own water and get her own ice. I had gotten her a glass of water and handed it to her before I went into my call, but she felt like it was appropriate to call me and ask me to get out of my business call and go get her ice to put it in her water. This is the same girl who just a few hours later texted me in one other part of the house asking me if I could bring her a pair of socks that were two floors down. And not only when I brought her the socks did she ask me if I would put them on her feet. My friend, this is a really, really rare sense of entitlement. But here's the deal. All kidding aside, I set that precedent. I did not set boundaries. And although I think I've been very clear in so many areas of my life when it comes to parenting, there's just so many things that we do that set our kids up, I don't want to say for failure, but for some very unreasonable expectations. And so I guess they say that effective parenting happens when we look past our discomfort and we know that we can be comfortable in the uncomfortable during the uncomfortable things, knowing that that is what's going to help them get to the other side of things when they are uncomfortable, not rescuing them, you know, not issuing consequence. Like, it just seems so obvious. And so as we look at these 2018 graduates, There supposedly is a Fab Five, that will ensure they don't only survive but thrive. Okay, now when it comes to graduation, my friends, you know this about me. I was a graduate. I graduated from two official places. One was a drug treatment center. The other was a seminary. I think I did graduate from 4K in eighth grade, and I think high school too. But much beyond that, my kids will often say, you have no idea, you don't have a college degree, and you have no idea, you know, what it is to manage academics, athletics. And they're right. I don't know. But I do know that the end result, what we hope for all of these graduates, 2018 graduates, is that they thrive, that they live lives that are thriving, right? And so we know that God has a future and a hope prepared for them, and his plans are always for our highest and best good. But that earlier scripture verse where I mentioned that little thing about, like, when I was a child, I did things like a child, and when I was an adult, I put away childish things. What I find, at least in my house, is my kids want to be adults when it's convenient, right? There's a certain set of adult parameters that they expect and deserve, think they deserve. But then when it comes to other areas of adulthood, like, that we just kind of, white, you know, put a big black marker through that, like that's not necessary. So here's the deal. The Fab Five, in order to survive, is according to 6,000 organizations worldwide. They did this survey and they decided that, you know, five things are going to be the deal maker for this entitled generation. Okay, so I'm specifically talking about those who are graduating from college. Okay, so the big five are quite simple. When they experience these Fab Five things, they are more likely to go from entering college to actually graduating college. And here's the number one thing: getting connected. My friends, I'm not referring to hooking up, friends with Ben's, Tinder or Facebook kind of connecting. I mean connecting with the right people. I'm talking about this God-given desire to have close, accountable relationships, because this thing says, this survey says, that it's more likely, it's actually exponentially more likely, that we will find success and our students will graduate and succeed as a direct result of having accountable relationships that are with the right people. You know we become the five people we hang around with. My daughter Campbell always says that's pretty scary because I hang around you, Mom, more than anybody. And nobody in my house wants to end up like me. Okay, number two, possessing adaptability and resilience. Here's the deal. These kids, these young people got to know that things don't go as planned. I mean, they just don't. And it's really sad to me to know that because things don't go as they planned, when we don't issue consequences, they cannot overcome adversity. My friends, 80% of people are returning back to their home after they graduate from college. I do not want any of my children living with me. No judgment if you do. It also says that 34 years of age is when they will actually transition to adulthood. So sad. Number three. EQ is higher than IQ. Their emotional intelligence is so, so important. The ability for them to be aware of their feelings and manage those, right? Manage them and have a social awareness of the feelings of other people. Key indicator, my friends, to their success after college. Number four and number five, I only got 2 minutes. Kurt's giving me the thing. Targeting a clear outcome, direction with intention. Don't tell me how you are going to be successful. Tell me exactly what you are going to do that will ensure your success of engagement and finishing well. Here's the deal. We refuse to live in the past, the absence of resentment and regret, not wasting time, refusing to indulge in self-pity, and forcing ourselves to get involved will ensure this thing called peace of mind and almost guarantee we're going to have some success and some successful graduates. Fifth and final Fab Five, make some good, and I'll insert godly decisions. We make good choices and we make God choices. These are decisions that will determine our moral compass. My kids say nobody mentions moral compass, Mom. I've never heard that outside of you. Well, this particular survey says over and over, your habits, your dispositions, and your discretionary choices will indeed all drive your success, mostly your moral compass. You absolutely got to love that. So graduates, 2018 graduates, congratulations to you. We will have the stipulation, give you a little out, that results may vary from person to person, and it may take some of you a little longer to find your path, but here's what we're charging all of you with, to leave a mark, to absolutely leave a mark so that your this graduation day pales in comparison to the future that God has planned for you, because he does have a future for hope and for his plans to prosper in your life. And know that because of him, you are loved, you are accepted without hesitation, without conditions, or without reservation. So just be exactly who God has called you to be. And I promise you, the Fab Five is going to cause you to survive and thrive. So thanks for joining with Judy. Stay tuned. Next week is our Father's Day special. Keep it hot, honest, open, and transparent. Peace out.